Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Our ninth episode. Today is Wednesday, December 28th, 2016. You guys can call in and go along with us. You know, we're discussing the biggest moments in the NHL the past year, as well as college hockey if you want to call in and talk that too. Our telephone number to call in is 646-668-8467. You can follow along on social media as well at Stay Out of My Crease on Facebook and Stay Out of Crease on Twitter. You can also email us at stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com. I hope everybody listening had a wonderful holiday, regardless of what you celebrate. So I'm going to bring in my co-host, Jimmy. How are you doing tonight, Jimmy?
Hey, Kimmy, I'm doing pretty good. Hockey's back, so we had that little break there. So that was rough.
I didn't think I was going to make it.
Right.
I know. So everybody who follows me on Facebook saw my little updates day two, day three. Right. So.
So how did was you have a Christmas?
I was going to ask you the same thing. My Christmas went very well. I got completely spoiled. Part of my Christmas gift was going to the Pensford Red Wings game earlier in December. And then I got a Malkin sweater, very excited about that. And I got a penguin blanket, penguin socks. Basically, I got spoiled with penguins. So it was a great Christmas. How about yours?
Mine went pretty well. In fact, you know, it was really nice. I got to spend, we went actually up on Boxing Day. We didn't have it on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but I went up to my mother and father's house. And it was nice because my sister and her kids are right there, so they were there too. And then my brother actually made it up from Tennessee for Christmas this year, which was incredible. I'm not sure if he's a Predators fan, but he doesn't really admit to being it. So, but nonetheless, it was good to see him and his family too. So, which
definitely.
You know, we don't get to see that often with him living way down south there in Tennessee.
Right. And I was going to say after last night, he wasn't going to even admit to you he was a Predators fan.
Well, there'd be no way. If he was, there's no way he would admit that. So.
Right. Yeah, that was a good win for you guys. You're on a hot streak. You and Columbus.
They just keep on coming.
They do.
And the fun part is, you know, we've won 11 in a row and they've won 13 in a row. And we both have games. They're playing against Winnipeg tomorrow, and then we play against the Islanders tomorrow, and then both teams meet on Saturday. So it'd be the first time in NHL history, as far as I know, that two teams with 10-game winning streaks will play each other in the regular season.
That's just phenomenal. I mean, the Blue Jackets, of course, you know, I don't want to talk about them, but in all fairness, they are very hot, and the two hottest teams right now are the Wild and the Blue Jackets. They both have amazing streaks going, and they really don't look like they're going to slow down anytime soon. I mean, you thought almost that Columbus was going to lose to the Bruins last night, but they found a way to make a comeback and go for their 13th, which is...
Well, and a lot of it is they're getting, both teams are getting consistent play out of certain players, and they're also getting, you know, they have line depth. You know, where they have more than just, you know, two lines. They have three that can play, and their fourth line is pretty annoying for both teams. So that helps with their consistency, and they're getting really good goaltending.
Oh, yeah. Bobrovsky, he shut down the Penguins when they lost 7-1. I know that if you look at the Blue Jackets, they're on their 13th consecutive victory, but they've gone dating back to November 25th, 14-0-1.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. You know, 15 game unbeaten streak.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
they're getting to the point where they're milestone breaking. You know, I mean, if they beat Winnipeg on Thursday night, they'll have won 14 in a row, which I think ties them for fourth all time as far as longest winning streaks.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's just...
Of course, your Penguins have the longest one at 17, but
right.
That might be in jeopardy this year with these two clubs, so...
It definitely makes that Metropolitan Division on our end a lot tighter, and I know you guys are starting to stalk the Chicago Blackhawks a little bit, too.
Yeah, we're only 1 point behind them, and the Wild is that is, and we got 3 games in hand, so I'm... You know, pretty confident that there'll be a turnover there. You know, and it's still early; it's still late December. But you know, the better you can posture yourself for the playoffs, because frankly, you want to be the number one seed, so you don't have to play St. Louis or Chicago in the first round of the playoffs. And plus, you get to play when you do have to play one of those two. You get to play them at home,
right?
You know, have home ice advantage.
And that is always helpful, especially when you're like the New Jersey Devils, who, and even the Penguins, who play better at home than they do on the road. You know, that home ice advantage comes in huge.
Yeah, it's huge for Pittsburgh. It's, you know, and like you say, the Devils or whatever, it doesn't seem to matter where Columbus plays. They're just going to win.
Right. No. Yeah, and that's the scary thing.
They're 10-2-3 on the road. I mean, that's...
Right.
They have as many road losses as Pittsburgh has home losses. So, I mean, that's... If only they'd let the NHL let Columbus play more so they went so many games behind.
Right, because we have, 4 games in hand on them. The
yep.
Penguins do, and the Rangers have 4 games in hand on them. The only one who's even
right.
remotely close are the Washington Capitals, who've played 33 games, too.
Right.
Carolina's played 34. The Islanders have played 34. So, and I think Philly's played 36. So that makes, you know, it's very tight in that division anyway, and any little point helps, but there's going to be a point where either Columbus is going to fall off or they're going to just dominate and win that President's Trophy.
Right. Well, and a lot of people don't necessarily take that into account when they're looking at the standings. Because, I mean, if you look right now, it's Pittsburgh, Columbus, and the Rangers. But,
right.
you know, Washington's only 5 points behind the Rangers, but they got 4 games in hand, too. So you don't know how those games are going to play out. You
exactly.
know, I mean, if you know they've got 4 games to get 5 points, so you know essentially you know they could very easily be in third place at this point.
Oh yeah, they could definitely. You know, like they have Ovechkin. I mean, he's when he gets hot, he gets hot. You know,
right.
So you can never count Washington out. It just seems that this year they're actually playing more as a team than they are as individuals, which could be a good thing for Washington in the future.
Well, and I think they finally decided that, you know, that's the way that they have to play if they want to go further, you know, because they've
right.
always had good regular season records, kind of just falling apart when everybody else steps it up another level in the playoffs. And there's a culture of losing in the playoffs there in Washington that they have to get over. And I think they're really, you know, kind of knuckling down, so to speak, in the regular season so that they're more prepared for playing in the postseason as opposed to just winning games in the regular season.
Right. And you know, Josh just tweeted out that you can do well in the regular season, but the playoffs are a completely different beast. And he's exactly right on that. And we think you've
well,
listened, Josh.
The prime example of that is if you look at, you know, you look at the you look at LA and you look at Chicago coming out of the West, and you know, they won what, 5 out of the last 6 cups between those two teams, and they don't necessarily dominate during the regular season, but their goaltending really comes on with Quick and Crawford. You know, Crawford's back now after his appendectomy, and you know, as long as the Kings can hold, he's been playing very well. Exactly. And I mean, when he gets to the playoffs, he's a whole different goaltender. And I don't know if it's just him or if it's the philosophy that they play, because they've got some centermen that are, you know, not afraid to go back and muck it up or skate backwards. Where, you know, a lot of the other teams are not that way. So they really kind of clamp down when they get to the playoffs, and they just try not to get hurt or wear themselves out during the regular season. And because they know that, you know, once you get into the tournament, it's, you know, you're starting over. It doesn't really matter what your record was or how good you played during the regular season.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? We're actually going to take our first commercial break here, and then we're going to come into our mailbag segment. We have a couple callers on the line already. You know, just be patient with us. I'm going to bring you guys in here shortly. So we will be right back.
Today's show is brought to you by Big Worm Customs. Big Worm Customs is a company that does it all, from design services, home improvements, to customizing vehicles, all at great prices and payment options. So call Big Worm Customs today to start your custom project at 248-595-6618. That number again is 248-595-6618, or find them on the web at bigwormcustoms.com.
Detroit Rock City Promotions, everything you need for your party, wedding, show, or event. DJ services, tent setups, table and chairs, mobile stages, sound and lighting, photography, on-staff reverend. Book DRCP Army today at 810-627-9773. That number again is 810-627-9773, or find us on the web at DetroitRockCityPromotions.com.
All right, guys, we are back. So we're going to jump right in here to our mailbag segment. Again, if you want to send us questions, you can email us at stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com, or you can message us on Twitter or tweet us at stayoutofcrease, or you can also get a hold of us on Facebook at stayoutofmycrease. And I also forgot to mention that we are syndicated on Arena Sports Network on Thursday nights. And actually, Arena Sports has also started syndicating us on Friday nights as well. So we definitely thank Arena Sports Network for that. So let's jump into our mailbag segment here. Our first question comes from Lacey, and she wants to know, who are the oldest players in the league besides Jágr?
Well, Jágr's going to turn 45 in 2017. And
correct.
You know, he's getting up into Gordie Howe territory, although Gordie, I think, played till like he was 53 or 54 or something like that. So he's got a ways to go, but the way he's playing, I can easily see him playing another 10 years.
Says he's in probably the best shape he's been in a long time.
Right. There's a few players that are going to turn 40 this year. Your guy, yeah. Matt Cullen.
The
guy from Virginia, Minnesota.
And he actually just recently turned 40. And the only reason I know this is because they got him a shaving cream pie for his birthday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, and then Shane Doan, who's playing for the Coyotes now, he's 40 or going to be 40, you know, if not now, you know, very soon. But, I mean, that's
Dan
still
Boyle
5 years.
Dan Boyle is also going to be 40.
Right. I mean, that's still separated by 5 years from
Jágr,
you know. So,
yeah, and
I mean,
some honorable mentions who turned 38 this year are Marian Hossa and Andrei Markov.
Right. And Hossa's playing at a high level. He was a scratch against the Jets the other night, but he's still playing at a really high level. You know, and he really helped Chicago get through the Taves injury. And I don't think they would be in first place right now if he hadn't really stepped up his game. And right. I don't know if he's just going to be a healthy scratch for a couple of games here just to kind of rest him up, you know, in and out of the Christmas break, you know, because
right.
he played at a high level and he played a lot of minutes and a lot of shifts that, you know, he's not necessarily used to playing, you know, for Chicago.
Right. Yeah, he definitely – I remember when he played for the Penguins. And, you know, to see how these two players, who were former players of my favorite team, have gone on and still extended their career. I mean, you know, they take a lot of hits. This isn't like they're not definitely these guys that, you know, are what you call the pretty boys. You know, they get in there. They're hard-nosed players, and they play at a high level each game that they play. So it's amazing
right.
that they can do that at their age.
They're not afraid to, you know, to finish a check or to be checked, you know, go in the corner to get the puck or either, you know. Jerome Aginless from Colorado is also in that 40-year-old club too, and he doesn't show any signs of slowing down either. So,
right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, I think since Lacey asked that question, you know, you and I have talked about Cullen. And I think she would be interested in maybe hearing, because, you know, he was contemplating retirement last year. But you heard his, he called into the radio station up there in Minnesota to talk about why he decided to come back.
Well, and the thing is, too, is, you know, like I said, Matt Cullen's from here. He was from Virginia. He was a standout, you know, a high school hockey player. And then he went to St. Cloud State, where he really started getting used to the media and the fans back here. And so he's not a he's known some of these broadcasters, you know, for 20 years, that have, you know. So when he gets on the show, he's a little more open than he is probably, you know, when he's getting an interview in Pittsburgh. So, because he just feels like he's talking to his friends. That being said, he was talking about how, and this is before this season started, he was talking about how he had just built a house in Moorhead, and he wasn't sure if he was going to play again this year, and that the only team he would play for would be Pittsburgh, and it was only if they wanted him back. So, and he said it wouldn't be about the money, it would just be about playing again and trying to maybe get back-to-back Stanley Cups.
I actually, Jimmy had called me and said, you have to check out this podcast. And I listened to it, and I couldn't believe it. I was just, like, so excited because I loved – Matt Cullen was such a huge part of winning the Stanley Cup, so to have him come back was just big. So I figured since Lacey had asked that question, she might like to hear, you know, a different side to that story. So, but
well,
that was a
one,
great
one of the other things. One of the other things he brought up, he said, you know, when you get to be 40 years old and you're playing hockey, you're not playing it for money anymore. You're just playing it because you love the game and you're not quite ready to be done yet. He said,
yeah.
But he also was quick to point out, you know, that if he's not able to play it at the level that he is, you know, wants to play it at, you know, which is a really high level, that he'll be done and he won't come
right.
back next year if he doesn't feel like he had a successful season this year. And then not too long ago, they had an interview with him again, and he said, well, I haven't ruled out playing next year. See how things go.
So as opposed to Favre watching football, we may have Cullen watching the offseason in hockey. So, but, yeah, Lacey, thank you for emailing us that question. That was a great question. Our second question comes from Josh, and he says, I have been listening to your show since day one. We thank you so much for that, Josh. Your support is greatly appreciated. He goes on to say, I must commend you and Jimmy for your unbiased views on your respective teams. You said earlier in your podcast that the Rangers have the potential to be good, and Mark Kelly and Kim said that the Rangers have a history of fizzling out. Has this already begun to happen?
Well, I don't necessarily see that happening. It's not, they're in third place, they're only a couple points behind, and that can come either way. They did have a 7 or 8 game winning streak this year too, so they're having a little trouble in net right now, in the goaltending right now. You're trying to decide who they're gonna go with, and You know, and Lundqvist has struggled at times, but I think there's something more behind the scenes with him. I think there's a lingering injury with him that they're kind of not letting go, you know. We played them, the Wild played them last week on a back-to-back and won, of course, because we have that streak going. We used our backup goaltender and beat them, and we actually chased Lundqvist. And he never used to be able to do that. So I think there's something wrong there, and I think that – but – still 7-3 and 0 in their last 10 games. It's not like they're playing bad hockey. It's just everybody else around them playing better.
Right. Yeah, they seem to get the, in my opinion, the worst luck of the draw when it comes to the games, because if their goaltenders are on point, their defense is not. And,
right.
You know, they've been getting, because of that, they've been getting close games. Or they either get, you know, they get the really close games, like the 4-3, the overtime games, or they get completely blown out. So, and I think the Wild kind of blew them out because you guys scored an empty netter, right?
Right. Yeah, that was a surprise. So it's always nice when you can win on the road on a back to back with your backup goaltender. That's
oh yeah.
You know, that says a lot about how you play defense. And that's definitely what the Wild can do. But as far as them, I don't really see them fizzling out or dropping off at this point. You know, there's still a lot of hockey to play, and like I said, they're still up at, you know, toward the top of the division and the, you know, the Metro Division. And their biggest problem has always been the same thing as Washington. They have the culture of losing in the playoffs. You know, Wild
right.
have the same thing. Wild can't seem to beat Chicago. I think the Wild have lost to Chicago 3 years in a row in the playoffs.
Right.
So there is that mindset. It just takes 1 year to get over the top. You know, look at Pittsburgh last year. They hadn't gotten to – when was the last time they went to the Cup Finals? Was that when they won it?
Mm-hmm. In 2009.
Yeah, other than that, it's been, what, Tampa Bay and Boston and a couple other teams that have
right.
worked their way in. Of course, it really hasn't much mattered because they just lose to the Western Conference team anyway. So.
Exactly. And, you know, the Rangers have been the thorn in the side of my team. So when it comes to the playoffs, because they usually bounce us out. They did, what, I think 3 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken. It was at least two, but I'm thinking it was 3 years in a row we got bounced out by the Rangers. So it was exciting to beat them last year. I was good with that.
Right, exactly. So. Well, and, you know, and there seems to be a lot more teams that are playing on a higher level in the Eastern Conference this year than there ever has been. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
Is that the product of them not playing anybody? You know, a lot of the upper teams playing with a lot of the lower teams. You know, I know that, you know, Chicago and Minnesota and generally St. Louis and Edmonton haven't really had a whole lot of difficulty with playing the teams from the East. But, you know, when you go to your Arizonas and your Colorados and, you know, then it kind of drops off in a hurry. So you can get fat in your regular schedule, you know, by playing some of the teams that just aren't very good. So, you know, it'll all work its way out in the end.
Yep. Because, like you said, they're when going back to the Columbus discussion. There, you know, they've played four less games than it seems like everybody else. So, you know, that'll eventually even out. I mean, there are teams that kind of have a bye week coming up after the new year. Because I know my team does not play the whole first week of January, so I'll have plenty of time to watch other hockey.
Right. Well, that's the Players Association kind of came up with that deal to give, you know, give everybody a chance to heal up and recover. So
right.
Every team, it's like having a bye week in football, you know, for your NFL fans. It's basically the same thing where you just get that time where all those little nagging injuries can go away and you'll have a period of time where you don't have to play.
All right, we're going to take our second commercial break here, and then we're going to come back and finish up our mailbag segment.
The water in Flint, Michigan is making people sick. You want to help? Flintstock Productions needs your assistance. Flintstock Productions is a nonprofit organizing several events that help children affected by the water crisis in Flint. The funding assists doctor and medical costs not covered by insurance and also replaces contaminated appliances of Flint residents. Flintstock 2016 is dedicated to maintaining clean water in their community. Visit flintstock2016.com. Again, that's flintstock2016.com.
All right, we're back. If you guys want to call in and join the discussion with Jimmy and I, our telephone number here is 646-668-8467. I know we do have a couple of callers. I promise we will get to you very shortly. So we're going to continue the mailbag segment here, Jimmy. Courtney asked, will Crosby continue to maintain the pace he is going? And will Lane continue to compete with him for the Art Ross?
Well, it's hard to say about Lane. My dogs are barking next door. It's hard to say with him. Because he's so young and he's still trying to figure everything out. And, you know, he seems to be where he'll go a couple games where he'll get a goal or he won't get a goal. And then there'll be other games, you know, and he's kind of streaky. I mean, that's typical with, you know, the kids when they first come up. So, and, you know, he's a rookie. He's 19 years old. So the fact that he's even in that conversation is pretty amazing.
Exactly. You know, him and Connor McDavid have definitely bought the young guns up. So
now, as for Crosby, he's on a pace to do something he's never done before.
And that is?
Every one of his seasons, even the season that he scored 51 goals, every year before this, you know, and you look, there's one year where he scored 32 goals in 41 games, but he only played 41 games that year. You know, he's kind of tends to get hurt. But this is the first year. He's got 26 goals now and only 16 assists. This is the first time where he's had more goals than assists.
That's crazy.
And it's not even close.
No.
So either, you know, he's taking more shots than he did before, or his positioning around the net, which he's doing more, but you know he's not making plays like he used to make. Obviously, because he doesn't have that many assists, he doesn't even have the second assist in a lot of games, in a lot of goals. So, I think that's more of a telling factor. Now, I think he'll probably continue to score goals, but I mean the way he's playing, You were scared last night when they were playing, when he got in, kind of into that
scrimmage.
Oh,
when he got his helmet yanked off. I was like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Not again. I mean, he's playing a little bit more aggressive than I've ever seen him play.
He mucked it up in front of the Devil's bench, and then one of the guys came in and ripped his helmet off. And then what did he do after that? He went down the dressing room.
Right, he went down the runway to the locker room.
Yeah, if you're not equipped to play that style of game, don't play that style of game or don't pretend that you can. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah, I just think that it's an amazing, I mean, I'm not complaining at all, 26 goals, and he scored one again tonight. And it seems like when he scores goals, that's when the team starts to get behind him. So I think, I mean, from watching it, myself, I think it's more of he's putting himself in the right position this year, like around the net. And let's just be honest, some of his goals are complete puck luck. How many people
right.
do you know can bounce it off a goalie's back or get their own rebound and slide it in the five hole? I mean, these are puck lucky goals, some of them. So I guess, you know, if you're a superstitious hockey fan, like I tend to be, you know, you roll with it, whatever works.
Well, and right. So. And, you know, if, going back to the game last night, I mean, the best play he had wasn't the goal that he scored. It was the pass that he had to Malkin in front of the net and Malkin getting himself open so he can make that play. So,
and that was from Malkin's 800th point.
Yeah. That's more of, you know, the players he's playing with and more of the style that he used to play with, as opposed to, I mean, he's almost a different player this year than he was. Ovechkin's the same way there. And part of it's, you know, this is his, what, 12th year in the league. He's kind of not as fast as he used to be. So
no.
You know, he's slowing down a little bit. He's still a good player and he can still shoot, but, you know, he's kind of got to do things a little differently now because he can't just blow by people anymore.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, it's the same thing with Alex Ovechkin. I think as they're getting older, they're starting to work on things that they may not have worked on when they were younger. You know, different ways to shoot, you know, different ways to score, and, you know, just things like that. So that's a really good point. Courtney, thank you so much for the question. Our other question comes from Blake, and he wants to know, we are almost to the midway point of the season. What are some surprises to you this year, and what, for fun, of course, are your predictions? Well, I'm going to be honest. My biggest surprise is Columbus. I never thought the Blue Jackets would go on a tear like this. And the Metropolitan Division being so tight is another, you know, another surprise for me. That's definitely going to be the dominant Eastern Division when it comes to the playoffs, if it continues. What about you?
Well, I would have to go with, exactly the fact that Columbus is playing so well. And also that Edmonton's playing so well as young as they are. And the fact that Winnipeg is playing so well as young as they are. They're like the three of the top five, youngest teams in the NHL, and they're averaging like 22 years old or 23 years old. It's just crazy. You know, I mean, there's some future, you know, it's only going to get more exciting as they get older because they'll get more experience underneath them. But I thought that it would be more like it is in Toronto and it is in Buffalo where, yeah, you've got good players and you're going to have good games, but you can't put the consistency through there. And they definitely are.
And, you know, the Leafs are doing, I mean, the Leafs have a very young team, too, and they're holding their own. I know my friend Dean is a huge Leaf fan, so we talk a lot about them, and he's actually pleasantly surprised with how they're playing this year. He's used to, you know, struggling, and but he's actually enjoying watching the Leaf games this year, which is great, you know. They're a surprise. I think the other big surprise for me is the Detroit Red Wings. This could potentially be the first year they don't make the playoffs.
Well, right. And they've had a lot of issues. They've had a lot of injury issues. But, you know, they're not that far out. You know, that whole conference is kind of bunched up. And it seems like, you know, the division-wise, you've been playing a lot of cross-division games and not a lot of in-division games where you can make up space. You know, you can't have five teams on five-plus game winning streaks like the Metropolitan had and play each other. I mean, that just doesn't happen. You're playing other teams from other divisions or other conferences. And, you know, I'll be curious to see what happens when there's more, you know, in-division games as opposed to out division games for all the conferences. So, but yeah, Detroit not playing as well as they are, you know, as they should be, is kind of alarming.
And Nicole just tweeted out and she said that her biggest surprise this year is how bad Dallas is doing. And that's a good point too. They are struggling. You know, they used to be a team that could play for overtime and beat you in overtime, and now they still try to play for overtime, and it's kind of biting them.
Yeah, well, they've got seven overtime losses, in which I think leads the West, or I think Anaheim might have seven too, maybe a couple other teams, but they don't have the same firepower that they did before. They're not scoring as many goals. They're not. They're not playing as disciplined. I mean, yeah, not scoring as many goals. I mean, they have over 100, but they're not. I guess they're not over 100. They're only at 90, and they've given up over 100. So, that's a big part of their game is when their that plus minus of theirs can be right around zero, then they're doing well. And that's kind of how they did it last year. But yeah, that is a huge surprise that, you know, you go from being the winning the Central Division last year to maybe not making the playoffs this year.
Right. Yep, that was that's a great tweet. Thank you, Nicole, for listening. All right, so our next comes from Twitter, and it says, this isn't really a question, but more of a compliment. Jimmy and Kim, you have the best chemistry I've heard on a radio show. Thank you for not only being down-to-earth people, but also not making any person who asks a question feel inferior. I'll turn this into a question now. How long have you guys known each other? Wow. Well, probably about 7 years.
I think about seven,
I was going to say, when we met, our kids were both playing baseball, and
yours was in T-ball, so,
I can't believe we've known each other that long. That's crazy.
Right. Right. And, well, and it was mostly online that we talked, you know, years ago, but I think it was 5 years ago that we met in public for the in person for the first time, so we pretty much do that every year now, so.
Exactly. That's our yearly tradition. Thankfully, your job actually lets you come out here.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And, you know, thank you for the compliment. You know, not everybody's an expert. We don't pretend to be experts on this show. And we don't like to make anybody feel that no question is good enough. So, you know, even if you have a beginner question, we all have to start somewhere. All that matters is how much we all love hockey. So thank you again for the compliment and the question. All right, now let's get into the fun one, because this one I actually posed on social media. And Lars asked, what is your favorite moments from the last year in hockey? And that was a great question, because it leads into what we were really going to talk about anyway tonight, because I figured with New Year's coming up over the weekend, it would be great just to kind of do a review show. So, Lars, thank you for the question. I posed it to social media, and I think Jimmy and I have some of our favorite moments, too. So do you want to go with yours, or do you want me to read the social media ones first?
Well, I had one that I had was planning on using prior to last night. And that's Luongo from the Panthers, and also Yager from the Panthers with their lifetime milestones. You know, Yager moving into second in points of all time, and Luongo moving into fifth all time for goaltenders. That's, you know, that's immortality there. I mean, that's, you know, those they'll be up in that net upper echelon for a very, very long period of time. You know, you look at, say, your guy Sidney Crosby. He's 20 points away from hitting 1,000.
Yeah.
And so he's got almost 900 more points to get to where Yager is right now. You know, so if he plays another 9 seasons at 100 points a season, you know, then he'll get there. But I don't see that happening. So, you know, that's the kind of, you know, jaw-dropping statistics that Yager's putting up.
You know, and I mean, doing it healthy for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just...
Yeah, he's still running people into the boards. He's still checking. He's still, you know, he's still going in the corners, like I said, you know, and he's still playing like Yager did when he was, you know, 25 years ago when he was playing with Lemieux in Pittsburgh. So he doesn't know any other way to play. So, but that going to be my favorite moment. Until I watched the Crosby thing last night, I kept rewinding that. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then they took his helmet off. I gotta cry. I gotta go to the dressing room. Somebody hurt me. Come on.
Hey, let's just put it this way. Every time Jimmy watches a Penguins game and we're talking back and forth, something happens. and it's never good. So I told Jimmy he has to stop watching the Penguins play. but, you know, mine was definitely Jágr. Of course, my favorite moment was the Stanley Cup win. I mean, that was just surreal to me. But the other one, it happened last night, and, you know, it's still 2016, but Gino getting his 800th goal or 800th point, that's a huge, huge milestone for him, too. And they had asked a couple of the players after the game, and nobody had realized that he was up that high. And I thought that was kind of cute because, you know, Malkin is just one of those guys that's just, he quietly gets it done. So, but Brian actually agrees with me, and he says his favorite moment is the Pens winning the fourth cup. And he also wanted to let us know his other favorite moment was the banner-raising ceremony or the banner-raising game in front of the Caps with the win. So thank you, Brian, for your answer. Jack's favorite moment of 2016 was the 7-1 win of the Caps over the Penguins. So you can tell what kind of groups I'm in.
Right.
We have a lot of fun in those. So, you know, that was Jack's. Let's see. Jeff says, and Jeff's been on the show before, so Jeff says his favorite moment is anything Wayne Simmonds pummels and crashes. You can tell Jeff's a Flyers fan, right?
Right.
And our girl Tay, she said her favorite moment was watching the Caps choke in the playoffs. So, this one's an interesting one. Michael H. says his favorite moment from 2016 was watching my very first hockey game all the way through, which happened to be the Pens en route to the winning at all. Now, a little backstory. This is one of my really good friends, and we blogged together for a long time. He had never watched a hockey game, and I was like, you have to watch this because you watched the end of the last one and we won, which was Game 6 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I made him watch Game 7 with me because I told you I'm very superstitious. So I got him hooked. And now he just, you know, he continues to watch it. He actually has NHL Center Ice this year so he can watch. So, you know, bringing along another hockey fan is always good news.
Well, and it's always good to start your hockey watching career, so to speak, you know, watching Game 6 of the Lightning and the Penguins playing. So, you know, that's
no doubt.
That was
and I'm turning around and watching that Stanley Cup. I mean, that was a great Stanley Cup final. But yeah, so that was awesome. Thanks, Michael, for actually answering my question too. Christine said her favorite moment was Mitch Marner's NHL adventures, and she told me to definitely mention the Living on the Prayer during the big fight. If you guys missed that, when I believe it was Vancouver and the Maple Leafs had their very first game, it was just old-school hard-nosed hockey. There were so many fights. The two goalies actually got into a fight in that game. And here is Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews sitting on the bench rocking out to Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. It was just it was a great moment of just two kids and just having a fun time. And could care less what was going on the ice. They were just having fun. So that was a great moment.
Well, and they're both new to the NHL, so they're not used to the whole fighting thing, and they're not used to how they're supposed to act. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of – can't imagine there was a whole lot of fighting in the hockey leagues down in Arizona where, you know, where Matthews came from. So.
Right. Chris said his favorite moment was seeing Mike Sullivan behind the bench for the first time after Johnston was ousted. Brandon said dump trucking the Pens 7-1 and sending the Flyers packing in the playoffs. Bo said Larkin. Yeah, can you tell? Bo said his favorite moment was Larkin winning the speed skills competition in last February's NHL All-Star Weekend. That's a really good one, too. Alex said the Rangers getting destroyed by the Penguins in the playoffs. And no, I'm not a Penguin fan. He's actually a Devils fan. So
there was, that was a hate like there. He didn't like the fact that Pittsburgh won. He just liked the fact that the Rangers lost.
The Rangers
that,
got
that's
bounced.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Chandra said her favorite moment of 2016 was the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. She said it was the most exciting and different, and the Western Conference had some great hard-nosed hockey games. She's exactly right on that. This was a fun last year.
I was surprised that San Jose actually came out of that, but you know, I think Chicago just took the year off or something. I don't know. And they were good games, though. I mean, they were all every single series. You know, it's a more physical style than the East Coast, and consequently, you get a lot more 2-1 games or 3-2 games or whatever. You don't get the typically don't get the 7-1 or, you know, 8-2 games that you can in the East. So just because, you know, they'll beat you up if you do that.
Right, exactly. And she's got a great point. I mean, this was probably one of the most exciting Stanley Cup playoffs, especially, and she has it right, especially the Western Conference. I mean, there were a lot of Game 7s in that conference. And
right.
I never thought the Blues would lose to San Jose. I thought the Blues were going all the way to Stanley Cup. And, you know, you and I had talked
about
that.
And that worked out well for your Penguins, because I don't think there's any way that you would have beaten St. Louis just because of the matchup. But San Jose matched up better against St. Louis. And then, you know, you guys matched up better against San Jose, which, you know, like I said, you never know who's going to make it. You know, you didn't expect the Kings, and you didn't expect the Kings and the Blackhawks to get dumped. And then it was wild.
Right.
It was wide open, you know, and then, you know, who's going to win next, you know, so.
Yep. Carl said his favorite moment was Malkin's backhand, Ruth Spinarama. I believe that happened in the playoffs, where it just kind of hit the net. And it stayed at the top of the net and just kept spinning. It was just, that was his favorite moment. Melanie said her favorite moment of 2016, she actually got to meet Victor Hedman. That's a huge moment.
Nice.
Yeah, that's just a great moment. Richard said his favorite was the draft and Matthew's first four goal game debut.
That was amazing. I have to remember. I wish I would have remembered that. But, yeah, that was like, okay, well, we're drafting this guy. You know, we're drafting Matthews ahead of Lyon or whatever. And it's like, well, really? And he comes out and he scores four goals in the first game. He's like, okay, he's on the pace to score 328 goals. It's like, no, it's not going to happen, but he still is.
Exactly. Jeff M. said his favorite moment was when Reimer played outstanding versus the New York Rangers and quieted the haters in Florida for just a short while. Jeff's our Florida Panthers fan. He's a great guy. He runs a group that is just amazing for hockey, too. Joy is a Blue Jacket fan, and she says her favorite moment was the win over Montreal and Pittsburgh. And I can see where she's coming from, because those are, when you're on that winning side, those are great moments. And April said her favorite moment was saying goodbye to Rexall, the house that Gretzky built. And then we had
the house that Gretzky built. I mean, that was inside a shopping mall, which is actually bigger than Mall of America. And then they got this palace built, Rogers Center. And that's so nice. And it's really nice, too, that they're able to come into that for the first year, and they actually have a team to play in there. And, they have – you and I talked about this before. I think they have four number one overall picks on their team. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before they just keep getting better and better and better. So, you know, I mean, kudos to them for getting that done, especially up in Edmonton.
It definitely. And then finally, Austin, he said his favorite moment was the Islanders advancing to the second round in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You guys came up with some great answers. I thank you for, you know, following us and answering those questions. Let's go take some calls, Jimmy, and see what some other people have to say their favorite moments are.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air with Kimmy and Jimmy. Who's this?
This is Lou from Jersey, or as I call it, the middle of nowhere.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
All right.
So do you have any favorite moments from 2016 you want to share with us?
Well, I will agree with some of your mail listeners that when Pittsburgh winning the cup, that was a thrilling Stanley Cup final. That could have went either way.
It definitely could have.
Oh yeah. Now, but let me ask him. I don't know if I asked you this once before, or maybe I did. But when Washington failed to win the cup last season, would you consider that a failure? Even though they had the best regular season record, would you consider it a bust?
I don't think any, and this is just my opinion, but I don't think any team that makes it to the playoffs can consider their season a bust.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Now,
because Ovechkin was really hard on himself, saying, "Well, we choked in the playoffs. We lost in the second round. This season was an epic failure." But really, it was.
Well,
I beg to differ on that.
The other way to look at it, though, Lou, is, you know, okay, so you win. They won the most. They had the best record. They won the President's Trophy or whatever.
Yes.
Again. And, you know, they're always, you know, at or near the top of their division, no matter what format the NHL is in. So they're used to winning in the regular season, and they're finally getting to the point where they're getting frustrated because they can't do well in the playoffs. So
yeah.
I can understand where Ovechkin's coming from on that. He's like, you know, eventually we're going to have to win the postseason, or, you know, we're just not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a success until we do.
Yeah, but I think to be a little bit hard on themselves, saying that, you know, well, we failed. We didn't win the cup. Well, guess what? 28 other teams didn't win the cup either.
Right, but, you know, you look at some of the other teams, and again, you know, I know what you're saying, and that makes sense. But, you know, coming from their point of view is, you know, what else have we got left to prove in the regular season? You know, we've proven we can win, and we can win at a high level, you know, in the regular season, but we've also proven that we can't win in the playoffs. So until we can win in the playoffs, you know, what's the point of winning in the regular season? So, and I think they've taken a different approach this year, which we talked about earlier, where they're playing more as a team. They're playing with more team concept. It's not all about me and how many goals I can score. It's about, you know, let's win this game. Let me be in the right spot at the right time. You know, let me knock down that pass that could have, you know, sprung somebody. You know, let me get in the way of this, the dive in front of the shot, which they didn't do before, and that's why they didn't win in the playoffs.
Yeah. Hey, you said the Wild and Columbus game is tomorrow night, or is that Friday night?
It's Saturday night, but both teams play tomorrow night. The Wild play the Islanders, and Columbus plays the Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg.
Saturday night, great. Saturday's New Year's Eve, so I don't think I'll be able to catch that game.
Well, it's at 5. It's a 5 o'clock Central Time start, so it'll be 6 o'clock
6
your
PM.
Time.
I'll be getting ready to go to dinner by then.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do they always have the good games on a holiday?
Well, I don't think they really planned on those two teams being, you know, on
winning streaks when they did
the calendar.
Right.
Yeah, I guess they're probably thinking, well, this is going to be a matchup nobody wants to see, so open on New Year's Eve where nobody's going to care.
Exactly.
Boy, were we stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We got the two hottest
teams
playing on New Year's Eve night, and nobody's going to watch because B is A, New Year's Eve, B, the college football semifinals the same day. So,
it's
a double whammy.
Yeah, well, I guess for people that watch that other stuff, I guess that's okay, but
I do.
I know I'll be I know at about 4:30 I'll be watching my time that is. You know, I'll be watching Wild live and getting ready for the game, so.
Right. Well, I'm only you're an hour behind me, so
Yep.
Yeah,
and I'll actually watch that until my game comes on. So,
what's your game?
We play Montreal on Saturday night.
Wait, we as in?
As in Pittsburgh.
Oh, the Penguins. Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your. Well, I shouldn't say your boy. He was your boy. He's now tied down second among. Now he's past Messier.
Yager has sole possession of second place in points.
I don't think he'll ever catch Gretzky. I don't think. No. I don't think he's going to make it to 50. I think he's got maybe 2 years left in on tops. I don't think he's going to make it to 50.
Really?
Well, I don't know.
If he does, more power to him, but that's going to be pretty old to be playing any sport, to be honest with you. But if he does, I mean, more power to him, even though I'm not a Pens fan.
He took 3 years off to play in the KHL before returning to the NHL.
You mean the Russian
League? Can you imagine if he would have played in the NHL for those 3 years?
KHL, that's the Russian League, right?
Yes.
I thought so. Yeah. I've heard there's been some good players in that league.
Yeah. Well,
I also
know there was a
tragic plane crash not that long ago where it killed members of that KHL team, too. So.
Yeah, we're actually we're going to get right here to switch gears to the World Juniors and I believe the Russians were, what were they, armbands for those victims of the plane crash. So.
Ah.
Yep. Well, Blue,
just one more comment. My disappointment of the year of hockey, well, the U.S. team bombing out in the World Cup, of course. Ugh.
Yeah. It made it hard to root for him. I'm just kidding.
Even Team North America didn't do so great. Yeah.
No, not at all. It was just an unfair advantage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and to be honest, you know, the World Cup is, you know, it used to be the Canada Cup, and it used to be a couple other different things, and it doesn't really hold the same kind of water that a lot of the other tournaments do, the international tournaments do. And so I don't know that a whole lot of players from a whole lot of countries took it as seriously as, you know, Canada did because it was in their cup. So I think the level that it was before the season started, and there's a lot of rusty players out there, and there's a lot of players that require a lot of, you know, on-ice time against their team with their team in order to get better, you know. So I don't put a whole lot of stock in how bad, you know, the team played. I think that they just weren't necessarily ready to come play.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you, Lou, for the phone call, and we hope you have a very happy new year.
I will. And by the way, I'm hosting a show on Friday night. I'm subbing for Michael Black for the Ice Cold Sports Show Friday night, 9:30 to 10:30.
Perfect. So you guys want to tune in, you know, Lou will be hosting his own show. So that'll be great. Definitely. I'll definitely give you a listen,
646-668-2718.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Happy New Year. All right. That was Lou from Jersey. I love hearing from him. He's, you know, such a great caller. We do have another caller on the line, so let's go ahead and take this one real quick before we jump into, I know you wanted to just touch on college hockey with the holiday tournaments coming up, and then we'll jump into the World Juniors for the last half hour of the show. Hi, you're live on air with Kimmy and Jimmy. Who's this?
This is Diane from Jersey.
Hey, Diane, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Did you have a good Christmas?
Well, I celebrate Hanukkah, but yes, I had a good Hanukkah.
Did
you have a good Christmas?
I did. I got completely spoiled this Christmas, so that was definitely, it was a fun Christmas for me. And I even bought my husband, I bought him a Oshie jersey, and, you know, that was difficult for me to do. But so what were some of your favorite moments from this year?
Seeing Columbus Blue Jackets 13-10.
That's a definitely a good one. Yeah, they're definitely on fire, aren't they?
Oh, definitely.
And did you watch the Devils last night? Because you're the Devils fan, correct?
Yeah, I'm a Devils fan. No, but I get updates on my phone from NHL. They're struggling. They're like the
Rangers.
Yeah. They're really close, or they get completely blown out.
Exactly. I felt Bo Bennett kind of took a puck to the hip last night, but Brian Dumoulin actually took the brunt of the puck off of the face and ended up breaking his jaw. So, and I know that
he's
used to be
he's out for like 4 weeks now, isn't he?
4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good game. I really thought that, you know, the Devils, because they came out and they did not, you know, usually they'll sputter out in the third period, but last night they didn't. They kept that offense going and kept peppering that goal.
Good for them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, and we do hope that you have a happy new year.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Just another great caller, Diane. She's called in before as well, so that's, you know, thank you both for calling in. All right, Jimmy, so we're about 25 minutes out of Believe It or Not. Wow, this show went fast. So we are going to jump into just college hockey here for just a little bit, because there's no real big games coming up except for the holiday tournament, correct?
Right. And well, in, you know, most of the holiday tournaments that they schedule around this time of year, they have, well, it's like the Gophers play in the Mariucci, but, you know, they don't really invite anybody that they think can beat them. The most intriguing ones are the ones in Pittsburgh, which is the Three Rivers Classic, where you will see Boston College, who is number 6, and you will see number 14 Quinnipiac, along with, you know, Ferris State and Robert Morris, you know, so obviously that's going to set up for those two teams to meet in the championship. So that will be fun. But for me, is the biggest one is the Great Lakes Invitational, where you got Michigan Tech, Western Michigan, Michigan State, and Michigan all playing. Kind of for like bragging rights of Michigan, although there's a couple other teams that come from Michigan that would think that they wouldn't want to be in that too. But there's, for a lot of the quote unquote hockey states that have a lot of Division I programs, they tend to do this. In Minnesota does it. I think it's called the Minnesota Cup or something like that. And then, you know, of course, the biggest one is out in Boston, where they call it the Bean Pot. But those tournaments aren't until later on in January. But this is a big one, I think, for a lot of things, you know, for a lot of reasons, just because, you know, when you get that many quality teams from the same state playing, they're playing for more than just wins and losses. They're playing for, you know, pride. They're playing for, you know, we're the best in Michigan kind of a thing. So that'll be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, I know you and I had talked about the Michigan State, and it definitely, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that they play it on my alternative sports network, because that way I can actually get to watch it live. If not, I'll try to stream it online.
Right. Well, it's on Fox Sports Detroit, so if you got the Fox Sports To Go app, you can probably get that.
Right. Yeah, that should be an easy one to get to. But yeah, definitely. So we are going to go here, and I know you wanted to talk about World Juniors too. While we're, because that's a big tournament going on now through January 5th, I believe.
Right. Well, it's one of those things that sets up nice. It's
it's a fun tournament. It's where you can see a lot of high end talent playing, you know. And it's funny because from year to year, I mean, by all rights, you know, Connor McDavid and Matthews and Laine and, you know, Goudreau and all those guys should be playing in this because it's, you know, basically for 20 and under, and that's what those guys are. But they're right. in the NHL, so they're not able to play. So,
right.
But there are 28 first-round draft picks playing in this tournament. And every team in the NHL has at least one player that is playing in this tournament.
Right. And the Philadelphia Flyers actually have 9 players taking part in it.
I know, that's crazy. They have 3 goaltenders that are playing in it.
Yes. Yep. And I know the Penguins have 2 players, one for Sweden, one for Finland. Our prospect goalie is actually playing for Finland, for Finland.
Yeah, it's a fun tournament. I mean, you look at Finland won the gold last year, and then they lost basically all the players that played on that team last year to draft. So they're playing with, it's either 6 or 7 17-year-old kids that shouldn't even be on that team. They should be on the 18 and under team, but they're playing on the juniors team. And they're all 17, and none of them have you can't be drafted until you're 18. So they're kind of basically showcasing their new pool of talent, which, as you've seen lately, that, you know, Finland's been pretty much a hot spot for, you know, picking up grade A talent for the NHL.
Right. And there's, what, 28 first-round NHL draft picks. I know the Coyotes have Dylan Strom and Pierre-Luc Dubois from the Columbus Blue Jackets.
The names get harder and harder the way you go.
Yeah, they do. So I'm sorry, you know, when he gets famous and comes up, plays for the Blue Jackets, I'll be better at that. Now, for people who don't understand how this tournament works, there are 10 teams, and they are split into 2 groups in preliminary round. There's Group A, which has the defending champions, Finland, along with the Czech Republic, Denmark, Sweden, and Switzerland, and they play their games at the Bell Center. Group B will have Canada, Russia, Slovakia, and the U.S., and I can't think of the other one. Is it Latvia?
Latvia.
Latvia, thank you. I couldn't think of which one it was.
Well, they're not really a hockey power, so you wouldn't know. So.
Right, and they play at Air Canada Center. Some of the, I believe all of the United States games as well as other select games are available to be viewed on NHL Network, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and if you don't catch them live, a lot of times they'll be in tape delay. And if you have the ability to, on your cable or dish provider, you can, what do they call that, on demand or whatever, where you could see them after the games happen. And it's worth it because there's such a high level of talent that's playing in these games. These are people that you are going to see in the NHL. You know, out of
right.
those 28, probably, you know, maybe 15 or 16 of them are going to be playing, you know. And, you know, as a Wild fan, I'm pretty excited about this tournament because we have 3 players. We have Kirill Kaprizov from Russia, who's the captain of Russia, and he had a hat trick, and he's got like 5 or 6 points now in the tournament. And we have Joel Eriksson Ek, who's the captain of the Swedish team, who played for the Wild for a couple games this year, and then we sent it back over to juniors in Sweden. And they also have plays for Wisconsin right now. He's the captain of the U.S. team. And the thing about Kunin that makes him so interesting or so good is he's lighting the lamp like crazy for Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not a very good team. He's like the only, basically only one of the few bright stars on that team. And
he was the captain also of the 18 and under team a couple of years ago that won the gold medal for the U.S. And the irony of that is that Matthews was on that team and Kunin was the captain and not Matthews.
Yeah, and we've talked about that, and I just, you know, I find it mind-boggling just because of the fact that Matthews is doing so well right now. And, you know, he was a first, was he the first overall pick?
Yes, he was.
Yes, okay. Sorry, I had a brain moment there. But yes, I mean, you know, for him to be selected first overall and then having not, you know, finding out that he was even the captain of that team was just, you know, that's hard to believe.
Right. Well, and that just kind of shows the leadership skills that Kunin has and the confidence that they have, you know, that the USA Hockey has in him. It's funny because back in 2011, the Wild also had three captains. Jason Zucker from the U.S., Johan Larsson from Sweden, and Mikael Granlund from Finland. And Zucker and Granlund are still playing for the Wild. And Johan Larsson was traded to Buffalo for Pominville, who was their captain at the time. So the Wild represent pretty well in the World Junior Championships, but it's nothing like what Philadelphia's doing this year with just the sheer volume.
Right. And also, just to let everybody know, the USA has moved to 2-0 in the World Junior Championships. They have a 5-2 victory over Slovakia. So congratulations, Team USA. At least they're doing a lot better than the World Cup did, that's for sure.
Well, that's for sure. And these kids play with a lot of grit, and they really go after it. And for a lot of them, it's proving ground. And like I said, for the Finnish kids, you know, they're not necessarily all going out there to win it. I mean, obviously they want to win, but they're also out there kind of to prove themselves. And so are the, you know, the other draft picks to kind of in the last two drafts, the number three draft pick in both drafts are playing in the World Juniors. So that gives you an idea what the talent level is. If you get a chance and you can get them on the NHL Network, do that.
Right. And it's interesting to note that it has 19 NCAA college hockey players, college hockey players on there. So, you know, that gives you a chance to see. We had a question last week where somebody wanted to know, you know, how to stream these games. Well, if you turn on the World Juniors, you can actually see a lot of these players that have been drafted. And, you know, they're really good about telling you what team they've been drafted to. So, you know, you get that chance to actually watch a little bit more, especially since it's on NHL Network. I don't know if you have NHL Network, but you can also, you know, find it online and things like that. So it's a good opportunity to get to know your draft picks and find out who's going where.
Oh, right, because, you know, they're going to come up into your system and they're either going to, you know, feast or famine. And, you know, with so many of them out there that, you know, it was just 28 first-rounders. You know, I don't know the total and the actual amount of total players that are playing, but it's, you know, most of the players that are playing in this tournament are draft picks. And if they're not, it's because they're under 18 and they can't be drafted yet.
Right. Yeah.
Or they play for Latvia.
Yeah, which Kim cannot pronounce. That's okay. I wanted to get back because we just have a couple of minutes left here. And I wanted to get back to the NHL just for a minute here. Everybody knows the big Winter Classic game's coming up this weekend. Are you looking forward to watching that one, Jimmy?
Does Chicago play again?
And no, it's, well, maybe. I know the Blues do, but they're
playing.
Seems
like every outdoor game Chicago plays.
I know the Blues are playing in, they're playing in St. Louis.
Okay.
But you know what? I think they do play.
Yeah, doesn't really surprise me. They seem to play in that in one of the outdoor games every year. So
right, yeah,
but
I know
when,
when you're
marquee like that, when you're clearly one of the better teams, you're gonna get the publicity.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Now, do you like the outdoor games?
It'll be fun to see some really good outdoor fights too, because you know that St. Louis and Chicago doesn't like each other, and they're gonna be mucking it up. That'll be fun.
Right. Now, are you a fan of the outdoor games? Do you like them?
Well, it's a nice novelty thing, and I like the fact that they continue to do it, and they're not going overboard on it. You know, they're not doing 30 of them. You know, if they do, you know, couple three, four a season, I'm okay with that. You know, we have our own version of that here in Minnesota, where we have Hockey Day, where we play outside all day long, basically. So
yeah, that comes up around my birthday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's January, I think, on 27th or somewhere in that neighborhood. That's
still
water
this
year. My birthday's
the 21st, so.
Right. Yeah, it's in Stillwater this year, which is fun. Right down there on the St. Croix River, and it's gorgeous down there, and it's a perfect hockey setting. And you know, Stillwater's got a really good club this year too, which helps. You know, and they've got some good teams with some good talent, and that will play at the next level at least, and you know, some will play pro. You know, so. That's always fun. But the outdoor games, it all comes down to, you know, how well, what the temperature is, you know. I mean, there's certain outdoor games where you'd rather not play them because it's, you know, 18 below. But there's also other games where it's 50 or 60, and it's like, you know, we're really making the...
You're having trouble keeping the ice cold.
Right. Suddenly we're playing a game in Carolina, you know, so...
Right. Or San Jose. That would be another good one.
Right.
I like the outdoor games
with
myself.
With the refrigeration unit in Carolina that they had the other night, where they couldn't play the game, so...
Right.
And that was
indoors.
And that
game has been scheduled to be made up in March, too, so...
Right, which is probably going to be balmy in Carolina at that time, so they better make sure they have a backup set in place this time. So,
right. I know a lot of people, because, you know, I do a lot of social media and stuff like that, so especially to promote the show and et cetera, et cetera. So I was watching the comments in hockey groups that I'm in on Facebook, and everybody was like, this is why they should not have games in the South. And I'm like, that nothing to do with the refrigeration unit. But, you know, I think the South is a good market. You have Tampa Bay. They've been a good team out of the South. But, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to watching the Winter Classic. I always enjoy those. They're just a different feel.
Right. Oh, and part of the fun, too, is, you know, the night before they actually play the Winter Classic, the day before, they have the alumni teams come out and play, where they have,
right.
You know, so you get to see all the old players, and I can guarantee you the old players from St. Louis and Chicago still to this day don't like each other. And you know, I've yet to see a fight in the old timer games, but if there's going to be one, it's probably going to be there. I thought when Chicago came here to Minnesota, when they had what was basically the North Stars with a little bit of Wild thrown in, I thought there was going to be a fight there, but you know, there wasn't, so that was probably good. Some old habits die hard, so
they definitely do. And you know, for people who are interested, NHL on NBC, I believe, is doing where you hashtag Winter Classic, and you could share your outdoor hockey rink pictures. And I must tell you, I am super jealous of all these people that have backyard rinks, because some of these rinks are absolutely amazing. These people have like lights so they can play at night. And I know you're from Minnesota and you live there now, and you've probably seen all of this, but for the little East Coast girl here, you know, seeing all of these outdoor ranks in people's backyards, it's so much fun. It's great to go through those pictures.
Well, and it's fun. It's not hard to do, and not hard to flip a rink. but it's more pond hockey around here in this part of the state than it is, say, in the northern part of the state where it's more lake hockey. You know, you just go out there and then you clean off the ice and set up a couple of goals and away you go. And the hard part is, you know, getting the boards. And so a lot of times you don't play with boards, but, you know, and then, you know, Aaron's shots can go for a while. So it's a different style of game, but, you know, it kind of teaches you to hit the net more because you don't want to chase the puck because if you shot it, you got to go get it. Kind of a deal,
right?
So.
Yeah, you brought up the lake, you playing on the lake, and it reminds me of the commercials from the 80s with Eric Lindros and Jaromir Jagr. Do you remember that commercial? They were, Gordie Howe, I believe, was in it too, and they come up and they're like watching these kids play lake hockey, and then all of a sudden you see like these professional hockey players walk up and, you know, start handing out sticks. that was an
nice
old commercial.
Nice.
Yeah, it was funny. I actually just saw that on, I saw it again somewhere, and that just, you talking about the lake hockey actually brought that up. Now, Catherine just tweeted out that her favorite moment from the NHL 2016 was the and during the Stanley Cup final where they had the big honorary ceremony for Gordie Howe after he passed.
Right. Well, he's like, you know, like I've said many a time, he's top three for me, depending upon what day I'm talking about as far as best players ever to play. And
right,
not necessarily even just for, I mean, he was phenomenal on the ice, but what he did for the sport. You know, and to play till you're 54, 55, or I don't know, he was up there in years. You know, to play in, I think it was four different decades or something like that that he played in. I mean, it's just his consistency. But when the sport was just fledgling and when they just expanded to the second six teams, him and Bobby Orr were basically, you know, the face of the NHL and really kind of brought out the notoriety of you know, the sport and made it, you know, available to other people wanting to watch it, where, you know, that wasn't really the case before. I mean, if you didn't live in one of the, you know, original six cities, you didn't really follow because you couldn't follow,
right,
you know, the NHL. So that expansion really helped. And then those two being so flamboyant really helped too. So
right.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was a good thing.
It was, and they did such a great job on the at one of the intermissions, doing that on the scoreboard and the announcers. I know I've talked to people on Facebook and Twitter who actually went to the game that night, and they said that there was not really a dry eye in the crowd for the hardcore hockey fans. So. But, you know, it's hard to believe we are out of time.
Wow.
These shows go fast. So, you know, on behalf of myself, and I'm sure Jimmy will agree, we hope everybody has a great new year. Be safe out there for sure.
Be safe. Be safe.
Yeah, that's the main thing. We want you to come back next Wednesday night and actually listen to us again and, you know, tweet us those questions and stuff. And, you know, we're on episode 9, and that's hard to believe, but we've had such great responses, both, you know, through social media and the people that we know outside of social media that listen to the show. They've given us some great feedback. So we appreciate your, as our listeners, being such a huge part of this show. And we appreciate all the feedback, you know, even the constructive criticism, so that we can make this show a lot better. But yeah, it's hard to believe. It's 9 episodes, 9 weeks. That's phenomenal. And, you know, the listeners are amazing. The phone call, the people that call in are great. You know, don't ever hesitate to call us, even if you have just a question that you think might be a little too on the beginner side. You know, we're happy to answer those as well. So.
Well, and you don't have to hang on the line. If you just want to ask a question and then hang up and listen, you could do that too. You don't have to, if you know, if you're afraid of the back and forth, which a lot of people are, then you know, if you just have a question, you go, I want to have this question, I want to answer, or you can tweet it to us too.
Right.
We have the Twitter thing.
Yeah. We have a Twitter account. Jimmy still thinks that she plays for the Women's College Hockey League, but we'll get him up to speed on that in a new year.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And Jimmy says this is why Kim handles that.
Exactly.
But, yeah, thank you guys for listening. Hope everybody has a very safe and happy new year. We will be on live next week, so please feel free to call in. You know, keep those questions coming. We love answering them, even like I said before many, many times. Even if we don't know the answer right off the bat, we're definitely going to research it so and get you the best possible information that we can. So, Jimmy, thank you for
thank you,
being co-host on here. It's a lot of fun, and can't wait to start the new year off, especially as the NHL gets going, and then we have the college tournament coming up in March. So there will be lots of stuff to talk about.
Right. One, we'll have we'll be in probably in semifinals with juniors next year by the time, or next week by the time we get there. So that'll be interesting too. So we'll know how that will be shaping up. So that'll be fun.
Definitely. And I'm glad everybody made it through their withdrawals, you know, because I was going through it really bad. But yeah. So we're going to go ahead and end this, but like I said, have a great and happy new year, and we'll see you back here next week. And don't forget, we are syndicated on Thursday and Friday nights at Arena Sports Network. Everybody have a great night.
Happy New Year.